Good morning. It's Tuesday. It's March 17, 2009. You are listening to the Brain Labor Report.
We've got a war zone here today, right in our heartland. And across the USA, these multinational bastards don't use tanks and guns, it's true. But they've declared a war on us. Fight back, it's up to you. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
War on the workers, and it's time we started calling the shots. Going to work could be the death of you and me, but we're not unarmed. Our weapon's solidarity, Jim Beals and Karen Silkwood, the list goes on and on. With every year that passes, 60,000 more gone. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
And it's time we started calling the shots. When they boost your copay,
war on the workers.
Don't you know what to say?
War on the workers.
When they talk privatization,
war on the workers.
And cooperation,
war on the workers.
When they call you a team,
war on the workers.
You better learn how to scream.
War on the workers.
Oh, that's a war. Flexibility.
War on the workers.
Every worker stiff can see.
War on the workers.
Now when they poison your water.
War on the workers.
Don't go like lambs to the slaughter.
War on the workers.
And when they foul up the air.
War on the workers.
You gotta show that you care.
War on the workers.
When they talk WTO.
War on the workers.
You best be screaming hell no.
War on the workers.
It's a war on child labor protection. It's a war on the 8-hour day. It's a war on occupational health and safety. It's a war on social security. Now thanks to WTO, GATT, NAFTA, MAI, the IMF, and the World Bank, it's a worldwide war. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Yeah, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time, sisters and brothers, you know it's time right now. I said it's time we started calling the shots.
About time we started calling the shots. Ann Feeney, and this is the Brain Labor Report. She starts off every single show of the Brain Labor Report with the War on the Workers. Brain Labor Report comes to you Monday through Friday. We're a half-hour show at Ashland, Oregon, 94.9 FM here in Ashland. You can hear us via the internet, www.kskq.org. This is Wes Brain. I'm host of the show.
This is Jason Houck. I'm the engineer.
And for this dark, cold day, it's Tuesday, March 17th. We are looking towards a great interview today with a man I met last, met him on the weekend up in Salem, Oregon. He's with an organization called Enlace, E-N-L-A-C-E, and we're going to try the name. Nobody laugh, okay? Peter, his last name is hyphenated, Cervantes hyphen Gottschi. We'll ask Peter if we're saying his name right, but we will be talking about the economy, and it's on everyone's minds right now, and you're going to hear some things that you're going to want to be sitting down with your seatbelt and your hard hat on for this, okay? Guarantee some new information for you and me and Jason for consumers about what they're doing out there, folks. It's not pretty. Okay, always near the top of our half-hour show, we like like to bring you the Workers Independent News, 3 minutes of cutting-edge news out of Madison, Wisconsin. So for Tuesday, March 17th, 2009, here is the Workers Independent News.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. At a regional healthcare forum today, the Vermont AFL-CIO is leading a demonstration supporting H.R. 676, the single-payer universal healthcare bill. Kay Tillo of the All-Unions Committee for Single-Payer Healthcare says that bill covers everyone for all medically necessary procedures modeled on Medicare. She says opponents of single-payer who claim we would give up free choice for that plan are dead wrong.
The key is choice of your physician and your caregiver and your hospital, and that is what you get with single-payer. The other choice is meaningless. Choice of many, many insurance plans, all of which are inadequate, is meaningless.
A new Gaming Workers Council is being created in a joint effort to improve organizing, bargaining, and communications for workers in the gaming industry from Las Vegas and Atlantic City to Detroit and Connecticut. The Gaming Workers Council brings together the AFL-CIO, UAW, SEIU, and the Transport Workers Union Gaming Division. The council will also be reaching out to other potential partners. First order of business for the Gaming Workers Council will be to support ongoing contract campaigns for casino dealers in Atlantic City. It'll also help with bargaining efforts in Las Vegas, Indiana, and Connecticut. 2 years ago, dealers and other workers at Tropicana, Trump Plaza, and Bally's voted to organize, but the casinos have refused to bargain or stalled the negotiations process. Blue Cross Blue Shield is offering buyouts to workers represented by the United Auto Workers as the company faces growing losses. The insurance company will offer the workers 2 weeks of base pay for every year of work up to 52 weeks. Workers will also receive matching health benefits. Blue Cross plans to implement a two-tiered wage scale for new employees and will also increase co-pays for workers hired after January 1st of 2008. Teamsters President Jim Hoffa says that Mexico's threat to raise tariffs on U.S. goods in retaliation for ending a cross-border trucking program is an absurd overreaction to the shutdown of the program that Hoffa says was unsafe. Congress ended that program as part of the budget bill. Wisconsin state employees who fly their own planes for business could soon be grounded. Jesse Russell reports.
A new spending plan proposed by Wisconsin Governor Jim Doyle contains a provision that would prevent state employees from flying personal planes out of state on business. The goal of the provision is to reduce risk to the state if an accident happens while the employee is traveling. Employees who wish to fly on business in-state would need permission from their agency. Here is today's economic report. U.S. industrial output is at a seven-month low. Manufacturing continues to decline as less U.S. manufactured products are exported. Output fell by 0.7%, and factories were at 67.4% capacity in February. That is the lowest level since the government began tracking factory capacity in 1948. Auto plants saw their first manufacturing increase in 4 months, as production rose by 10.2% in February.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
And you're listening to the Brain Labor Report. Okay, mentioned earlier, we're going to get on the horn here, the telephone, and call Mr. We're going to just call him Peter. We'll ask him to help us how to pronounce his last name. He's with Enlace. He's up in Portland, Oregon, and we're going to be talking about the economy. Find your seat. Put your seatbelt on and get a hard hat, okay? I'm telling you, this is it's mind-blowing. It really, really is. And to get us there, we got a song that's just the right one. Daryl Cherney sings this. It's Xerox the Money. Okay, here we go.
The national debt. We owe $5 trillion and we ain't through spending yet. But I got the answer to fulfill our endless need. It's a little trick I learned from the Federal Reserve, and if they can do it, so can we. And what they do is Xerox the money. They Xerox the money. They don't think it's funny. Xerox the money. They just do it, honey. Xerox the money. Now you work a hard 40 hours a week. They pay you with something called cash. It used to have a goal behind it, but now it's just some people. joke. But don't you fall under the pressure. Don't you lose your dreams. Just get yourself a $20 bill and then get into a Xerox machine. Cause what they do is Xerox the money. They Xerox the money. They don't think it's funny. They Xerox the money.
Okay, there you have it, folks. Xerox the money, okay? Well, that's an idea. If you're going to do it, don't do $1 bills, though. You know, go with 50s or 100s. Anyway, I think we were successful. Peter, can you hear us this morning?
I can.
Okay, Peter, and help me, please, with your hyphenated last name. I'm going to get started here. Peter Cervantes?
Gouchy. Last part rhymes with grouchy.
Gouchy?
Yes.
Peter Cervantes Gouchy is with Enlace, E-N-L-A-C-E. That's up in Portland, Oregon. And Peter, for our listeners this morning on the Brain Labor Report, tell us first just a little bit about yourself and then tell us about your organization, Enlace, please.
Well, I'm, 60 years old. I'm co-director of Enlace. I'm a founding director. Enlace, awesome. Or Enlace, is a strategic alliance of low-wage worker organizations who are focused on organizing low-wage workers in both Mexico and the United States. So we have member unions, worker centers, and organizing committees in the two countries.
Wow. Well, that's very interesting. Now, Peter, I said you are up in Portland, Oregon. Are you an Oregonian? A little bit more about yourself, and then...
No, actually, I was born in California. I've been in Oregon for a little over 20 years now. But born in California and kind of economic refugee to Oregon, and here I am.
Okay.
We have offices in Oregon. I don't live in Portland. I actually live in Beaver Creek, but have an office there, travel a lot. And we have an office in Los Angeles as well.
Okay. Now, how did you get into the work that you were doing? Was there an event and point in time in your life? How'd you get there, please?
Well, I was a farm worker when I was 16 in Southern California, and working a particularly difficult crop under very horrible conditions and pay. We heard other farm workers were organizing, so we figured we could do it. So we started our union and got crushed, but I've been at it ever since.
Wow. Well, good for you. That's hard work. Now, I'll bet you know a friend of mine, because actually I'm on the board with the Oregon Fair Trade Campaign. Talking about Arthur Stimulus. And do you know Arthur?
Not well, but yes, I've met, and we've certainly the Oregon Fair Trade Campaign is an ally that we support and try to work together on issues. You know, when the opportunity arises.
Well, very similar issues. I know that the Oregon Fair Trade Campaign has done some great work on the trade issues. And, you know, we're looking at NAFTA, and we're looking at NAFTA's effect on migration. And I know that Arthur's done a lot of work on that. And just listening to you talk, you'd be a great resource on this. I think you've probably seen some of it firsthand. Tell us about the work that you're most involved
involved in right now. By the way, folks, I met Peter up in Salem last Sunday. The Rural Organizing Project just had a great conference. We had, they called it a caucus. We had folks come in from all over the state of Oregon and some rural folks, you know, people in the mountains and people up in up near Pendleton, all over the place. So that's where I met Peter. And tell us about the work that you're involved in now, please.
Well, in Oregon, we're involved in the tax, the bailout subsidy campaign. And this is a campaign to get the state of Oregon to tax the unjustifiable subsidy under the TARP funds received by Oregon subsidiaries of the giant financial holding companies like J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, in the closing days of the Bush administration.
Okay, now this is what people would call the bailout. Is that correct? Sometimes these terms are hard for people to conceive. So let's that's the bailout, isn't it?
Yes, that's what it is. Yes.
Okay.
Actually, it's the most well known bailout. Prior to the $350 billion that they got toward the end of the year last year, they had already been bailed out over $1 trillion, but that wasn't reported in the media very much.
Wait a minute, Peter. That's my tax money you're talking about there, and they didn't report it in the media? What's wrong? It's not funny, is it? The point is, I heard you say there's been a series of bailouts. This has been going on for some time, Peter. Could you tell us a little more about that? Put your seatbelt on, folks. This is scary stuff.
Well, the big one started, the big money started when Bear Stearns went down. That was, I think, a year ago today or yesterday. And that was 20-some billion that they put in. But then from there, they grew. There were quite a number of different bailout programs that went to Citi, AIG, J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, the big players in terms of bank and financial holding companies. The TARP fund was the biggest single chunk, which happened in October, and so that got the press then. It also, unlike the other bailouts in the TARP funds, we've been able to track how much money went to which of these giant corporations.
Wow.
And that's how we were able to get to, we learned who their subsidiaries are. Their subsidiaries are the owners of the holding companies, and there are 85 of them in Oregon. So with the, these are the same companies that caused the huge financial crisis, both in the United States and in Mexico, that forced millions of people to come north looking for work. So we're, the campaign here is to say, well, they should pay for their damage. They should pay taxes. You know, you win the lottery in Oregon, you win the Megabucks jackpot, you're going to get taxed 33% on it. So these guys won the jackpot, in a manner of speaking, with our tax dollars. They should pay the tax, pay for emergency medical services in Oregon, or some aspect of the damage that they've caused to the economy. They should help pay to mitigate the damage.
Okay, well, hey, that makes sense to me. In fact, I think that could be, there could be a populist movement around this. I think if people understood it in ways that we understand, ways like this, the average person knows things ain't right in the economy right now. You don't have to be an economist to know that if your neighbor's losing his house and down the street, the other neighbor, the other guy you know, his job just went away last week. You do not have to be an economist to understand that things just ain't right. And I think if I heard you right, what I've heard is this, that when the financial institutions in this country have a bad time, that they are given taxpayer money. If this is something that's gone on for a long period of time, I guess it's done most of the time without any oversight from Congress. They just take our money and give it to them. Did I overstate that, or is that what they've been doing, Peter?
You did not overstate it. As I said, last year alone, over $1 trillion went to these corporations even before TARP passed in October. and very little oversight. As a matter of fact, there are several people in Congress trying to get details on who got the money, how much, what they did with it, and to this day have been unable to get the information.
Well, they're talking about continuing to give them more money. So it doesn't make sense to me. Why will we give them money if they won't even tell us what the hell they're doing with it, Peter? Who's running the ship?
Right. That's an excellent question. The least we could do is require that they pay their share of the taxes in Oregon, and given the fact that more than any other factor, these are the very companies that cause people to lose their jobs because they're not restructuring loans to businesses, cause people to lose their homes because they're not restructuring mortgages, and really cause the devastation of the Mexican economy, horrible, horrible conditions directly attributable to the greed of these corporations there that have taken over the financial system there with the help of the U.S. government. And have devastated the social infrastructure in the sense that, we need the money for medical services and schools and so forth. We need to have these companies pay their fair share. So we have 85 of them in Oregon. I think we need to focus on those and make sure that they... the government or the legislature does the right thing and taxes them appropriately so that we can have a reasonable safety net in Oregon.
Okay, you've got my interest on this one, Peter. By the way, when you say the government, that's me, and that's Jason, my engineer, and that's you, Peter, and that's every single one of us who works and pays taxes here. And so you got me fired up this morning, Peter, and when you talk about, you said 80 or 85 here in Oregon, let's talk about that just a little bit more. Maybe we have some control here, and that's because they're chartered here in Oregon? Is that the way we're looking at that, Peter?
Yeah, they are incorporated in Oregon. So these are Oregon corporations. A bank or financial holding company is made up of some subsidiaries or corporations that are incorporated in a single state. So Wells Fargo, for example, is made up of 89 corporations. One of those corporations is an Oregon Corporation, incorporated in Oregon. It's the Tiger, name is WFS Insurance Agency, Inc. Probably never heard of it.
No!
But it is one of the 89 owner entities of Wells Fargo. So that WFS Insurance Agency, which has received a chunk of the $25 billion that Wells Fargo got, and as such, we could tax it in Oregon. And same is the case for some of the other big ones. U.S. Bank Corp, PNC, Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase, all have subsidiaries in Oregon that are exclusively Oregon corporations that receive TARP bailout funds.
Wow. Well, this is fascinating stuff. And as I understand the campaign, and there's different aspects of it, but part of this campaign also is about, this is big finances, folks. This is the billions. And can you say trillion? This is all this money that we're giving to these financial institutions. It drives me crazy. We need some accountability. And maybe the idea is that if they're chartered in the state of Oregon, the state of Oregon can demand some things of them. And this taxpayer right here, there's certain things I want. When we're bailing financial institutions out and they're not turning around giving credit, they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, Peter, we got to find a way to get the money to ordinary working people. You know the guy down the street I was telling you about whose house he just lost, and the guy on the other side, he just lost his job. These are the people, not the damn banks, who need help right now. What do you think of that idea, Peter?
I agree with you 100%.
How can we do it?
Well, we can tell our state senators and our legislators to tax the subsidy on the TARP bailout.
Okay, there is the message. The take-home message from Peter is this. I'm going to get a hold of Peter Buckley, by the way, is our representative here in Ashland, Oregon. I don't know where you're listening from right now, but he's here in Ashland, Oregon. And Alan Bates is our state senator. Follow me. I'm going to ask Jason to help me on this. And let's get some phone calls to those people. And we want the TARP bailout money to be taxed. Is that, that's the word we should be telling them, Peter?
Yeah. In particular, the subsidies.
The subsidies. Okay.
Yeah. And
it's our money. We have every right. Go ahead.
If you look at it this way, these corporations won the lottery. Set aside whether or not they bought any tickets or if the game was rigged, but they got this windfall lottery. They should be taxed like...
Folks, we have a can you hear it? I can. We have a technical difficulty there. I've never heard that noise before on the Brain Labor Report. You know, the U.S. Treasury might be getting involved. They could be hearing what we're saying this morning. It's 7:27 in about 24, 25 seconds. I think we still have him on the phone. Peter, can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay, sorry about that. I don't know what that noise was. I think alien forces might hear what we're talking about here. Please, we there it is again. Okay, Peter, let's get back to what is it that people can do and how can they find out more about this? Well, maybe about your organization too, Peter.
Well, they can go to our website, www.enlaceintl.org, enlaceintl.org. That's probably the quickest way to get information about us and contact us.
Okay.
And it's what we're asking legislators to tax the TARP subsidies.
Tax the TARP subsidies. Tax the TARP subsidies. Okay, that's what we're going to do. I'm going to call Peter Buckley up, and by the way, he's co-chair of the House Ways and Means Committee. Poor guy's got to figure out how to cut all these services that all over the state of Oregon. It's a horrible job. He didn't want it. Somebody has to do it. But I'm going to call Peter up, and we want to tax the TARP subsidies. And listener out there, join me. Call your legislator here in the state of Oregon, and TARP, the TARP subsidies, we've got to tax them. That's the take-home message. Peter, we've got about less than a minute left to go. Any last words you'd like to say to our listeners this morning, Peter?
Well, time is of the essence. This can only be done this year. Next year it'll be too late. So I would urge your listeners to follow your lead and get on the phone and burn up those wires to get some pressure on the legislature. I've talked to a few, and they seem to be focused on cutting services and a little bit nervous about raising taxes on the ultra wealthy interests. We need to give them a little courage by showing them support from the grassroots.
Fantastic. With that, we do have to say goodbye today. Peter, thanks for the great work you're doing, and thank you for being our guest this morning on the Brain Labor Report.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Okay, folks, we're out of here. Be back again tomorrow. Talk to you then. Bye-bye now.